Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Thank you for joining with us on this edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. It's always a privilege for me to come from my study to your heart, home, wherever you are listening to this particular podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. And it is my desire to encourage and strengthen Christian workers who are ministering in difficult times like this time today. And as we were podcasting just a few weeks ago on the subject of Easter and how to have Easter, many of us are wondering, what's that going to look like in 2020 as we face the COVID-19 virus and the impact of it? And the fact is that our nation is gripped today in concern and health concerns, and yet God has called us as spiritual leaders to stand up and to make a difference. I was reading in the Psalms this morning where the psalmist said, "At what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." There's nothing wrong with having fear or concern about what to do, but there is something to be said about not trusting God, because that's where the sin really is found. And God wants us to be leaders of faith, and even when there's fear, to let faith conquer out that fear. And so today, I'd like to speak to you for really a little bit less time than normal, but just for these next few moments about the subject of leading through a crisis. How do we lead through a time like this? And I know that there's leadership at a personal and family level, and you're caring for the needs of your own family. But I'm speaking here about the flock, and how do we lead the flock at this time? I want to share several principles that God has blessed in my life over the years as we've experienced the challenges that we face sometimes as a nation with war, sometimes as a church with a series of deaths in the church family, sometimes with financial difficulties. What are some of the biblical principles that God has honored through seasons of difficulty and crises? The first thing that I want to challenge you with right off the bat today is to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And there must be leaders in every community who know that God is working through this. Dr. Lee Robertson often said to me, have faith in God. And I remember thinking how simple that sounded, but I believe there's great profundity in this. Now, we must have faith, A, that God is allowing this season for a purpose. B, that God is going to adjust and work in our church during this season for good, Romans 8:28. That He's going to do something in your church life, some way of enhancing or deepening the program of the church. And thirdly, God is going to work in individual lives. Yes, there may be some sifting right now. People that were habitual attenders but not true disciples, they may become less faithful. But there's going to be a deepening. And I don't know about you, I'm already so excited about the first service back when we're able to gather together with our church family. So I want to have faith that God's working right now. Now, I don't even have to know how He's working just yet, but I believe He is working, and I want to convey that message to you today, that God is at work. Secondly, I want to challenge you then to make prayer the priority. Now, at our website at lancasterbaptist.org, we've already established a special place on our homepage that's just simply called Our Coronavirus Response. And one of the portions of that homepage is simply a portion or a place to list out prayer requests. We're also listing our Wednesday prayer page on the website. We want to bring people into the place of prayer. Of course, that's Hebrews 10. That's coming into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, but also into the website as a place to be reminded of what are the special prayer needs right now. So I think it's wonderful that through technology and through even the phone, that we can continue our prayer effort. And I've been telling our church that the church does many things. Yes, we assemble, and right now that's one of the things we're not able to do. But we're more than an assembly. We are a people of prayer. We're a people who give. We're a people who care. We're a people who witness. And all of these things can still be done. So let's focus on what we can do. And the greatest thing that we can do is to pray. And so I would encourage you, whether it's by way of Facebook, whatever means you have to get your people praying, to make this a time of prayer. And then let me say, thirdly, that this is a time, obviously, to be willing to adjust our schedule. Let's not be that lone maverick that's going to be proud of the fact that, bless God, we had 300 people there, even though they said only have 10. I don't believe that at this present moment is the time for you to be the lone ranger in that matter. I believe we have the right to assemble, the legal right to assemble, the biblical mandate to assemble. But I also believe this, that we have an obligation in this moment. I truly believe to set an example that we care, that we're concerned about the health and well-being of others. And so if that means that I need to break up into smaller groups like I did this past Sunday, the limit was 250. So we were able to go to our connection groups and Sunday school classes all over our 100-acre campus and make that happen. This next week, we're down to a limit of 10. So we're going totally live stream, and we're excited about that and willing to make these adjustments along the way. So adjust your schedule as needed. And let me say that with outreach, we can still visit the widows and the fatherless. We can still go out into the homes. We may not go inside of a home, but we can leave brochures with the gospel. There's still opportunity if we're looking for it. We may have to adjust the schedule and the way we meet. Instead of a big group on a Thursday night, maybe groups of 2 and 4 throughout the week, but we must lead in that effort of change. I do want to say, number 4, during a time of crises, we must go to the need. Leaders see the need and then take the lead. And right now, I'm thinking of the most vulnerable in our church. I'm thinking of the widows. I'm thinking of those with underlying conditions. We're calling every one of our widows, our deacons are, once a week during the crises. Several of our pastoral staff are as well. We're calling those that are chemo patients and those that just definitely can't get out. Can we bring medicine to you? Can we bring a meal to you? What can we do? See the need and take the lead. We have an already established group in our church that are involved in emergency operations. We have an emergency operations center on the campus. And I met with that group this morning, and we discussed needs of the church. We discussed the security need of our campus. We discussed the food supply need for some of our shut-ins. We discussed cybersecurity. We discussed several issues that are relevant to this season that we're in right now. So the needs may be congregational, they may be facility, they may be financial, but whatever they are, we must be the men and women as well who are going to that need. And so I would encourage you, as those needs come to your mind, write them down and then begin to work on them, because they're obviously changing day by day. But have faith in God, make prayer the priority, be willing to adjust your schedule, be ready to go to the need. Now, there's some real challenges right now, even with hospital visitation. Find the parameters, but there's a way to minister to someone, even when you can't get into the room, if it's a matter of a phone call, if it's a matter of sending in a card, but people need to know that we care. You've heard it said so many times, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And the seeds that we sow right now, this week, next week, the following week, are going to blossom into changed lives, I really believe this, in the months to come. Then let me say, number 5, we must preach messages of comfort. This is not the time to get up in our pulpit and preach about the fact that this is a bunch of hype and to preach against the government or the Democrats or whoever. This is a time that we need to reassure our church families that God is in control. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. May we be the vessels of his comfort during this season. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 that we're to comfort one another. And so let me encourage you to be that vessel of comfort. And then let me give you this sixth thought. During this time as a leader, as you're busy, you're going to be busy with meetings, you're going to be busy with study, you're going to be busy with perhaps doing some furloughs as we've done here. We have several hundred people that work here, and we're having to let some work from home. Some that are over 65 cannot come in. Others are being furloughed. They're taking some vacation time. Amazing administrative moment in the ministry. But in the midst of it all, I want to challenge you with this this fifth thought. That is, wait on the Lord and listen to what he's trying to tell you. I find that whenever a crisis comes, there's something for me in it. God's going to teach me. It may be he'll teach me to be more compassionate on the hurting. He'll teach me to cherish the freedoms of mobility that we had prior to this. He's already giving me a longing for the assembling, when sometimes perhaps as pastors we could be tired of having to get another sermon or deal with another problem. God's going to do something in your heart during this time. Your prayer life might become more real. Your devotions might deepen. But listen to whatever it is that God's trying to tell you during this time. And then let me say this finally. Prepare for the blessings ahead. I said it a moment ago. The seeds that you sow right now will not be forgotten in heaven or by your congregation. The notes you write, the emails you send, the love that you give. God's going to bless you for that. And you're going to be the recipient, I believe, of blessings in the days ahead for your faithfulness in this season right now. I was thinking this morning, I received several emails from members of our church, and they were just expressing some of their gratitude for things the church is doing. And our members were, in essence, ministering to my heart. And I really believe the body life of the local church is not limited to the buildings where we worship. And so let God use you to be that instrument of blessing during this time. Have faith in God throughout this time. Our people need to see that. Make prayer the priority. Adjust your ministry schedule, even if that means doing more technologically than you're used to and online. Then go to the need. When you hear of someone that's shut in or someone that needs medicine, let the church be the church. Then preach messages of comfort. Let us give the comfort that's needed along the way. And then, of course, let us, as we're giving that comfort, let us learn to listen to the Lord ourselves. God's going to speak to us during those times. And perhaps you need to journal out what he's trying to say to you. And finally, get ready for the blessings of God to come. God ordained that we would be alive and in ministry in March 2020. COVID virus, here it is. May God use you as a spiritual leader to make a difference in this hour.